This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we look at the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. I'm your host today, Ursula Rudenberg. In the past, my co-host was Don Wirth. Don is an esteemed resident of Ames and worked for many years at WOI Radio. During the past year, he graciously has been a volunteer consultant at KHOI, and he acted as our fundraising chair and helped develop and host this radio show, Local Talk, to help KHOI get off the ground. Don has moved on now after a year of helping us out, and so he will not be my co-host today. Don, the information and the expertise that you offered us, KHOI, is really the kind of generosity that makes something like community radio possible. All of us at KHOI want to warmly and officially thank you, Don, for everything and wish you all the best in whatever you do next. So today I'm joined by members of the KHOI reporting team. Local Talk is really more than a radio show. It's also really a training workshop for many reporters who are learning reporting, editing, and overall radio production. It's a very collaborative process that I think all of us are enjoying tremendously and are very excited about the potential we have to really discover and represent our community in a very personal way. Today we're going to be discussing a topic that was actually proposed by Don Wirth. So we do dedicate today's show on the harvest to you, Don.
Come a little bit closer, hear what I have to say. Just like children sleeping, we could dream this night away. But there's a full moon rising, let's go dancing in the light. But now it's getting late. 'cause I'm still in love with you. I wanna see you dance again, because I'm still in love with you. On this harvest
So KHOI reporters went out this week to find out what's happening on the land as the harvest season commences. We were able to get reports from various farmers, large and small. Ben Beloit is with me now. Ben, you went out to visit with what we might consider a larger, more traditional farm?
Yeah, a larger farm, over 1,000 acres if you count the land that he's renting as well as the land that he's owning.
And who did you visit?
Jerry Lynn. I saw him out just a few miles east of Ames.
Can you describe a little bit what you saw when you were out there?
Corn as tall as me or taller, and being in the combine, that was the interesting thing. Of course, you see him around, but actually being in one when it's working and reaping maybe 50 stalks of corn per second, just marching forward, and it's happening like 5 feet in front of you, just on the other side of a pane of glass, and is actually remarkably quiet considering everything that's going on. So it's really quite an impressive thing.
And where did you interview him?
I got Jerry just in his combine. You know, I didn't want to interrupt the flow of his day, so just got a little recording in there. And so this is what he had to say. Jerry Lynn, tell us how your year has been.
Well, I started out thinking we was going to be losing big time. And I'm quite surprised what's out here. 3 months ago, I would have thought 100 bushel corn was the only thing we was going to see. But we've been pleasantly surprised. The beans haven't been a runaway yield, but they've been pretty good.
Is this harvest on the whole, I think, better than you expected?
Way better than I thought it was going to be. Awful good for the kind of weather we've had. This particular corn is really high quality. It's got a good test weight, and it's dry. It's the most amazing crop I've had for some time. Shouldn't be this good, but my theory is that the corn plants are rooted really deep, and they're utilizing what moisture we had down in the subsoil and all the fertilizer that we've been putting on over these years. That the wet years we fertilize just like it's going to be a 180-200 bushel crop, and never got to utilize it because the roots never went down to it. Now the roots are down there, and I think next year is going to be a root awakening unless we get some serious moisture this winter.
One grace year.
Yeah, one great year. What I lived through 76, 77. 77 was one bad drought.
Yeah.
And 76 was an extremely dry late summer and fall. And the winter of 76, 77 had practically no moisture whatsoever. So we went into 77 with nothing in the tank.
Hmm.
Shaping up a lot like now. So if Mother Nature doesn't smile on us this winter and give us, snow doesn't do us much good. We need a good old sleety, rainy 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's a shame to have to think about bad weather for 2 weeks, but we need that from the ag sector just to get us back in good graces with Mother Nature and the ability to grow a crop.
So a lot of your corn goes to feed
livestock.
Livestock feed.
And make ethanol, and then the soybeans I grow are sold through the co-op to bean crushers who basically turn it into protein for hog and cattle feed, chicken feed.
What's your favorite part of the harvest?
This. Combining corn. It's just, it's what every farmer lives for. The benefits and the surprise of the harvest. You know, how good it can be. Some years it's real good, and some years it's not so good.
Yeah.
But every farmer, at least every farmer my age, I'm getting up there. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting up there. It's just what you live for. I just like farming. It's what I've done the majority of my life. And it's once you become a farmer, it's you just don't get it out of your blood. It's, and I've always said too that about feeding cattle, once you fed cattle, you're always a cattle feeder, and because it's in your blood, you love doing it. You love the animals, take care of them. Same with feeding hogs. I used to fare to finish a lot of hogs, and when the market went upside down, I had to get out before I lost my skin.
Yeah.
And it's been back, and now the hog producers, they're a lot bigger corporate producers. They've got their chance now to lose their shirt, so we'll see how that shakes out.
Yeah, what do you see in the future of your farming business?
Unfortunately, the term vertical integration jumps in there, and grain farming is probably going to follow the same route as livestock farming. In other words, there's going to be fewer and fewer corporate farms to deal with. By corporate farms, I mean families that create a corporation to farm big. Groups that get together and decide to farm. And they'll run them like businesses, and they'll be efficient at it. The equipment manufacturers are making bigger and better equipment all the time, and they love to charge for it. That's business, you know?
Yeah.
It just is. But as far as my little operation here, I hope to farm till I'm 90, but probably won't happen. It's just the way it is. But I'll farm as long as I can and have fun doing it. I got two good son-in-laws that like to do it too, and as expensive as it is to get into farming, I don't own enough land to get them started, so it's basically just what I'm renting and how much fun I'm having. And they get to run equipment too and have a good time doing it, and they're good at it, so.
So you own a number of acres, but you also rent a number of acres.
Yeah. My total operation is just right around 1,100 acres. Majority of it's rented. Some of it cash rent, some of it share rent. Share rent's the best deal out there yet. The landlord and the tenant get to join together and go into business together and wind up making the same money.
And you have crop insurance.
Oh, yes. I'm a believer in crop insurance now. I've had it for 20-some years, almost 30 years. Only had to use it once. Disasters happen. Use the insurance and the government, which is basically John Q. Public, as a safety. And we, in turn, offer safety to the whole country and the world in the food that we grow. It's a give-and-take deal.
You don't feel like you know, like you have any certainty about how the present farm bill is going to turn out.
Part of that is subsidizing federal crop insurance. If they go away from federal, subsidizing the crop insurance, then we'll be back to relying on a handout if we have a disaster, which technically costs more money. To budget in the monies to subsidize insurance is just a win for both the farmer, the government, John Doe Public, and the insurance companies, of course. I think that they will probably pass it next spring before I just dribbled a bunch of corn on the ground. Next spring before we roll the field, I sure hope they do, because we need a farm bill just to make cropping decisions. I mean, we can't wait until we plant to make those decisions. We have to do it now. Well, we're not going to get it. We're just going to have to rely or trust that they're going to get the job done eventually.
Why do you farm, Jerry?
Because I love it. It's paid the bills. It's what I know how to do. And I must be halfway good at it, or I wouldn't still be doing it.
Born in a farming family?
I was born into a farming family. My dad started farming down by Waukee, Iowa, and farmed the hard way. I moved out on a 80-acre farm. And then got the chance to move up here to, well, basically down by Huxley, south of Palestine Church. From there, just progressed. I grew up then on the farm, married a girl from Ballard, and life goes on. Got two grown daughters and their families and grandsons and granddaughters, and I like to say life is good.
You think those sons and daughters are staying farming for a while?
I don't know how they can. It's awful expensive. If I could figure a way for them to do it, I'd do it for them.
The ground is tough. I'd be better off with a job in town, but I love raising corn, beans, pigs, and cows. My farm doesn't make much, it's a labor of love. There's no insurance, 401k pension, or stock. Your retirement plan is the kids you raise. If you haven't got any, you'll probably work to the grave. 'Cause I'm not paid to plant, I'm not paid to plow. From the dawn until the sun goes down, I take my money and I bury it in the ground. And if it grows back, I might make it another round. Yeah, yeah. Crop prices have been the same for 40 years, but the rest of the world seems to get a raise. The only way to make it is to farm more land. Someone has to go so he can get an upper hand. 'Cause I'm not paid to plant, I'm not paid to plow. I work from the dawn until the sun goes down. I take my money and I bury it in the ground. And if it grows back, I might make it another round. Yeah, yeah. Business without a boss, but I answer to the bank, Chicago and God. I don't make much money, but it's a lot of fun. Heaven's got to be happy with the work I've done. 'Cause I'm not paid to plant, I'm not paid to plow. I work from the dawn until the sun goes down. I take my money and I bury it in the ground. And if it grows back, I might make it another round, yeah, yeah. I might make it another round, yeah, yeah. I might make it another round.
So, Ben, you also went and spoke to some small farmers and some organic farmers who grow vegetables.
Yes. Actually, Lana Nachtigall was nice enough to come in to KHOI. She has an Onion Creek farm with her husband, Joe, just north of Ames. And they have also side businesses, Lana Cards, for one. She was really nice, gave me some insights about small farming around here, which is okay. A growing business.
My name is Lana Nachtigall. My husband and I own Onion Creek Farm, northwest edge of Ames, Iowa. We grow food for the local market. Lots of greenery and beans and onions and garlic, tomatoes, peppers, zucchini, all sorts of things for the local market. We sell our food at the downtown Ames Farmers Market on Saturdays. We take food to our local CSA, Food to Farm to Folk. And also we provide food to some local restaurants and other people, too. We've been farming at that location for about 15 years. We've lived there a little bit longer. It's a wonderful place to live. It's a wonderful way to make a living. And that's one of the things I do. I enjoy farming a lot.
How is this season shaped up compared to the others you've seen so far?
Every season has its challenges. This season, there was no rain. It sort of set us back a bit. We irrigate quite a bit, but couldn't keep up this year. Lots of things seemed about half half size to me. So it wasn't really a super great year, but on the other hand, the lack of rain changed the bug situation in a lot of different ways. So win some, lose some.
How much insurance do you have, or how much carryover do you have from previous years to withstand drought years?
Our insurance is diversity, local customers, not overextending ourselves, doing a lot of other things besides just growing one sort of commodity. We grow a lot of different vegetables, and even in a drought year, some things do better than others. Although this wasn't a super productive year, we kind of come and go. That's how we deal with it. We tend to work with the elements, work with nature, as opposed to fight them too much. Yeah. We just back off.
Were there any significant events for you this year other than the drought?
This year, a disease was pretty rampant in not only our garlic crop, but a lot of the garlic crop in the Midwest. There was a fungus that went through. It took out about half our crop, and talking with other farmers in the Midwest, up in Minnesota, Wisconsin, they had it hard too. Some people lost everything. It was due to the fact that we had dry conditions, and there was nothing else for a wave of insect pests that came through early in the season. It got attacked by insects that carried this fungal disease, and that was unusual for us, but there it was. And so when we dug up our garlic crop, a good chunk of it was brown, malformed, small. Young people came out and worked on the farm. Got involved with a group called Urban Dreams that had teenagers come out for 2-3 days a week and work on our farm and start out not knowing a whole lot about agriculture or green things or dirt, and actually learning quite a lot and being quite good hands. Hmm. Also, we have tour groups come out and talk, and it's great. I enjoy them. They're good.
Tell us what you see looking forward for your farm.
Like I say, I'm looking forward to keeping on with diversity, not only growing vegetables, but we have a guest house on our farm. I also do other things. I'm a freelance designer. I draw pictures. I'm involved with music. Spreading out and diversifying and enjoying a lot of different things. I intensely farm in the summer, and I intend to probably intensely keep doing that. I look forward to doing lots of different things.
The harvest season. What does it mean to you? What do you look forward to this time of year?
Oh, I look forward to the first frost. Time to relax. Although people ask me what I do when I'm not farming, as things come to an end, it gets quite busy because, like I said, we gear up for spreading compost, tilling under cover crops, putting in garlic, cleaning up everything, taking down tomato trellises, moving fence, moving chickens around. We have chickens and ducks. Putting chickens on pasture, cleaning up, draining the hoses. That's stuff I did this week. So,
And then the frost comes.
Well, yeah. And then you start planning for next year. And like my husband Joe says, at the end of the season, during that short window before the seed catalogs start coming in January, it's time to fix everything that broke in the summer. And it's all farming.
Huh. Well, thanks very much for coming in.
You're most welcome.
All right. Alana from Onion Creek.
So, Ben, thank you for that interview. And I think you actually spoke with another organic farm in the area as well, over in Nevada?
Yes. I also spoke with Sally Gran, who works with Tabletop Farms and is one of the four co-owners. And it's really an interesting family-type operation based mostly on the model that you can support yourself as a farmer and basically provide everything for yourself that you need while still also selling what you don't need and making a profit on the side. And it's a really interesting model. So this is what she had to say. Sally Gran, you are a local area farmer. Tell us what you do.
I'm a farmer at Tabletop Farm, which is located just 20 minutes outside of Ames, and we grow a couple dozen different varieties of mostly vegetables, a few herbs, also some melons, on about 26 acres. And we sell most of our vegetables to CSA, which stands for Community Supported Agriculture, and that's people who have subscriptions to our farm. And then some of our vegetables get sold at Farmers Market in Ames and in Des Moines, as well as wholesale to some local restaurants and groceries.
And you've been in operation now for a couple of years?
Yeah, we started our farm just a couple of years ago. This is our second growing season. We're not sure exactly what size we'll end up being, but our goal is to make it sustainable for two families. So we hope to be able to earn a normal middle class income off of the farm. So we're planning to adjust our scale accordingly to that. So we're going to have to keep growing a little bit to get to that point. We've been learning a lot more about production each year. We did have some experience going into it, but you never learn everything until you're on your feet having to deal with different situations. But, you know, each year is different with farming, different weather conditions.
So tell us about this harvest in particular. What stands out about it?
Well, this year, of course, has been defined by the drought and the incredible heat that we had in July in particular. In general, when we entered July, the summer crops did okay. They were set back a little bit because it was so hot that they had, like tomatoes, for example, they were dropping their blossoms, and so they were delayed a couple weeks in fruiting, even though it was really warm outside. But eventually we had a really good tomato harvest. We had really great tasting melons, and the summer or the winter squash seemed to be doing pretty well. Also.
Did you also get hit by the garlic bug this year?
Yeah, we did. At least 50% of our garlic would have been considered lost, or seconds, as we call it. We ended up only throwing out about 20% of it, maybe, because we didn't have very much at all, and a big portion of that goes to our seed for next year. We've had to lower our standards a little bit as far as what we give to CSA members, but it meant that we couldn't sell any garlic wholesale or at farmers market.
So what do you look forward to for the coming years?
You know, we got really good at irrigating this year. And so that's one system that we got into place really well this year, and I guess each year we hope to have more of our systems really well in place. So I look forward to getting to a point where we don't have to be constantly developing new systems depending on what's going on, where we have more experience and we know how to deal with each situation without going into a panic for a few minutes.
What's your favorite part of harvest?
It's really satisfying to see it once it's all been coming in. We've been harvesting the winter squash the last couple of days, and it's really amazing to see the crates of it stacked up high and to know that that's going to feed us throughout the winter.
So what does harvest mean to you?
Well, harvest is less of a time of year for us so much as just when we bring in the crops. So we invest a lot of time and effort and expenses into growing the crops. And so harvest is when it all culminates, when we finally get to bring it in, see the fruits of our labor, and then also hopefully see some profit come from that. Our harvest begins as early as April or May, and it goes through at least October, if not November or December, because we have a high tunnel for season extension. So this is our first year with the high tunnel, and we're still getting our systems down for that. But we hope to have a much broader harvest season in years to come.
Tell us about that high tunnel. How does that work?
Well, it looks a lot like a greenhouse, but it has plastic sheeting on the outside, two layers of it, so there's a layer of air in between that helps insulate it, and it can work either passively, meaning that it's heated 100% by the sun, or we could install a heating unit to keep it just warm enough on, saying we don't want it to get below freezing in there because it would kill some of the crops. We could heat it just a little bit to keep it warm enough for things to keep growing. So generally farmers who have high tunnels grow cold-tolerant crops like greens, spinach, baby kale, lettuce in the late fall, winter, early spring. And then in the summer and the late spring, it's a way to get a leg up on the summer crops like tomatoes. So you can get tomatoes a month or more early.
And what fresh vegetable have you been looking forward to the most?
My favorite vegetable is a sweet potato, so it's a great time of year to be a sweet potato lover.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Sally Grant. And
sure.
Where should someone go if they want to find out how to become a member of Tabletop?
Just go to tabletopfarm.com or join us on Facebook.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
There ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you a ripe one, do not get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them is a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a big one. homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'll life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Picket guy, you can go out to eat, that's for sure, but if nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure, put them in a salad, put them in a stew, make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, eat them with gravy, eat them with beans, pinto or navy, put them on the side, put them in the middle, put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle.
Homegrown tomatoes,
homegrown tomatoes. What'll life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Also here in the studio today with us is reporter Linda Manette for KHOI. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Ursula.
And Linda, you also went to speak to a farmer, and you went to speak to the pumpkin farmer.
I did. His name is Dick DeMoss. He and his wife run the pumpkin farm that's just outside of Gilbert in Story County.
So you went out to the farm?
I did. It was just really a really nice setting. The picture-perfect autumn day to start with. Blue sky, you know, all those autumn colors. I get out of my car, and there is a couple of flatbeds loaded down with pumpkins. So it's just a beautiful scene. Large barn, and that's where they sell their vegetables, and they have jams and pies and things like popcorn and things like that. So folks that drive up just park right there, pick the pumpkins off the flatbeds, and go in and do their other shopping. It's just right there on the farm. It just feels like fall, and with all those pumpkins, and there's a big pile of squash, some kind of blue squash. It's just a really homey feeling.
So you spoke with Dick?
I did.
So let's listen to that.
Okay.
Homegrown tomatoes. What a life be without homegrown tomatoes.
This is Linda Manette with KHOI Community Radio, and today I'm speaking with Dick DeMoss. He and his wife are the owners of DeMoss Pumpkin Farm.
We started 35 years ago, and it was a 4-H project with our daughter. They could raise a few vegetables, and then they get to take the produce and go to Nevada to the county fair. Now she's 50 and lives in Minnesota, and we're still going. It's out of hand now, so we say it's a 4-H project that it went bad.
A lot of people would say it went good.
We have 200 acres in the farm, but I keep 16 acres for vegetables and then rent the rest of the corn and soybean land to my nephew, Kevin Peterson. We started in late March with asparagus, 1,200 hills of asparagus, and we picked that. I picked that three times a day, 6:30 in the morning, 12:30 noon, and 5:30 at night, and then I put a rubber band around a pound of it and put it here in the shed, and people just drive in and help themselves and put the money in the box. So that works out pretty well. But the season lasted this year from the 26th of March until the 15th of June, which was extra long. And it was due to the weather. The warm weather made it come out of the ground earlier. So it was about 3 weeks early. But then we go with all the leafy green stuff, you know, spinach and lettuce and radishes and all that. And then we go right into potatoes and 1,400 hills of potatoes, 9,000 onions. We had over 500 tomato plants, peppers. Why, it's continuous from March into November. So then we end up with, or not end up, but have 6 acres of sweet corn. And then 6 acres of pumpkins and squash. We finish up in 1st of November. Anyway, we're in the pumpkin business now, and pumpkins and squash. We have a nice squash market here. And then, of course, we do hay rides and bonfires, and they can bring the food, or we'll furnish the food, or we get catering by Hickory Park and the East Hy-Vee store. Both of them do a real nice job. We do birthday parties. We have a lot of sororities, fraternities. So we get, you know, Wells Fargo and some of those corporate people, too. But we have hay rides and just have fun and relax.
Yeah. Sounds like a good thing to do, along with all the hard work.
It is a lot of work. Yeah. But we're just Letha and myself do most of it. She bakes a lot. 4 days and four nights a week she bakes. And then she cans a lot and makes jam. So she's real busy. Too busy, really.
You do, the two of you do all of that?
Well.
You do most of the planting, the harvesting?
Yeah.
We have
some Gilbert kids that help us hoe pumpkins. We hoe them in by hand. And then sweet corn started the 27th of June this year and went 7 days a week, 6 in the morning till late at night. So we have help with picking that. We pick it by hand. Same way with picking the pumpkins, it's labor intensive. So there we need help because we're talking about a lot of volume. We'll work 20 hours a day a lot of times.
Wow. Yikes.
Eat supper at 11 o'clock or 11:30 and go to bed and get up at 4:30 or 5.
Oh, my gosh.
Keep it going. We go to Farmer's Market at North Grand Mall in Ames twice a week, 52 times a year times 35. We've been there a long time, and we've only missed two markets in 35 years.
As far as the harvest goes this year, was it a typical year? Did the weather impact it?
This year was extremely up and down and not a typical Iowa year. I don't mind the variation, but this was extreme. The heat was extreme, and the dryness was extreme.
Yes.
So we still need a lot of moisture. Some of the pumpkins and squash that we're harvesting now are larger than normal, and we can't figure that out because it was so dry and we didn't water out in the field. Overall, we're fine. I mean, we've got so much stuff. On 6 acres of pumpkins and squash, we figure we'll get about 75 ton of produce off of.
Wow, that sounds like a lot.
Bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden.
Yeah, this is Local Talk on KHOI, and today we're talking about the harvest time. Now we're going to go to a little bit of a different subject, which is really urban farming. And
yes.
Cynthia McClure is here with me. Cynthia is a reporter for KHOI. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi. Yeah, I went over to Sawyer Elementary School, and they were having their very first farmer's market.
So tell us a little bit about that. First of all, where is Sawyer School?
Sawyer Elementary School is in the Ames Community School District, and if you take 13th Street, it goes into Ontario, and it is on the corner of Ontario and North Dakota, where North and South Dakota meet.
Tell us a little bit about what's happening at Sawyer School.
This is the first year that Sawyer Elementary School had a garden, and it culminated in this harvest festival and farmer's market. So I went up to see, and I took a look at it, and got some really great interviews with supporters and educators and kids.
And you actually discovered a very interesting story.
I love this story. I hope you all enjoy it.
Put them on the side, put them in the middle, put a homegrown tomato.
So a little bit about Sawyer Gardens. The Ames School Garden Project started, I believe, in 2011 as a collaboration between the Volunteer Center of Story County and Prairie Rivers of Iowa, RC&D, the Ames Public School District. We started at Kate Mitchell Elementary School with a school garden, and then we were invited to start one here. We planted in Sawyer this May. And this is the celebration of our first harvest. It's been really plentiful, as you probably noticed. And the kids are really enjoying it. We've been having garden club on Mondays during lunch recess. And we've just been trying to plan as many events at the garden as we can and to get kids out there, even during the school day, to make connections to the curriculum. It's been embraced by the community. We're so grateful.
This is Cynthia McClure with KHOI, and I'm with Shelley Horngarten. She is
director of the Volunteer Center of Story County.
Okay. We're here at the annual Sawyer Elementary School Farmers Market and their Harvest Festival. And if you want to describe the event, Shelley, this is pretty outstanding.
Yeah, it's
here.
a lot of activity going on here. Over here in the garden, we have kids giving a tour of the garden and showing people where, for example, the potatoes are growing or the tomatoes are growing. And they're becoming familiar with all different kinds of varieties. Over here, they're selling. So you can see all different kinds of pumpkins, squash, gourds, potatoes. And I hear somebody's got an armload of pumpkins and watermelon. Then down here is Mary Greeley Medical Center doing nutrition education. The porch stompers are playing just on the other side of them. The Boy Scouts are selling popcorn. And then we've got several other farmers, local farmers, that have booths as well. Black Cat Acres, Onion Creek Farms, Prairie Boom Farms, and Huber Family Farms.
And trains are going by also. This is a very busy day.
It is. But it's a beautiful one. The sun's shining and it's gorgeous. And then we have the ISU Entomology Club here with bugs. So you'll see a bunch of kids surrounding the bug boxes and holding walking sticks and that sort of thing.
So how many people would you say are here today?
Well, we're just at the very beginning of the farmer's market. I don't know. It looks like
maybe a
couple hundred right now. Yep.
Yeah, and there's like no parking and it's very busy and fun-filled family activity.
Yep.
Wow.
So enjoy.
Okay, thank you. I'm here with a third grade teacher here at Sawyer School.
Glenn Sybil.
So can you describe the scene around you, sir?
Well, we have lots of people working. We have some extra farmers who brought their produce here to sell us. We have kids who are climbing a rock wall, a pretend rock wall. And we have musicians playing for us. We have kids selling produce from the garden. And we have other kids giving tours of the garden. And some kids playing on the playground.
Making a lot of noise.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Sybil, how did this all come about with the community garden and who sponsored it?
Well, last year in my class, I had two students who were interested in doing a garden because Mitchell had a garden. And so they went with the principal then to Mitchell and explored. And then we realized that the Vista volunteers were actually organizing the garden and with some other helpers. And so they said, we can have a garden if we want to. And so it started last spring. We've spread a compost over the whole area after it was dug up and planted some summer things. And it just grew from there. And families have been very involved. The school, the kids have been very involved. And this is kind of the culmination of a big celebration for us.
So it started with the two kids.
Two students.
Do you know who they are? Or?
They were in my classroom, Malik and Ashley. And I kind of supported them because I love to garden myself, and so it was kind of a natural fit for us.
Are Malik and Ashley here today?
They are. At least they were a few minutes ago. So
so they saw it from another school.
Yes.
And their success, and they wanted to bring it here.
That's right. Yes.
So this was sponsored by Vista?
Well, no, and I'm sorry, AmeriCorps.
AmeriCorps. So this is AmeriCorps volunteer-sponsored event.
That's right. Yes.
And how much do you think you're going to raise? Because it seems like a great big fundraiser with all this harvest selling and everything.
I think our goal is not so much the money we raise, but the community we build and all the kids having a piece of the garden. That's really the important part here. This is the first of an annual event.
Are you excited about it?
I am. It's very exciting. Yeah, it's exciting to see the kids so involved and exciting to see the community come forward and help us out. There's a lot of kids. For them, this is the first experience in gardening, especially those who live in apartment buildings. And so it's a whole new world of exposure for them. It's just wonderful.
What the heck is that? Whoa!
Very excited children running around here at this Harvest Festival.
So.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you.
And I'm with Malik. What's your last name, Malik?
Malik Davis.
Malik Davis. And I guess you were one of the young people involved in getting this whole project started. Tell me about it.
Me and my mom were watching this show called Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution, and we thought that we could make a big impact on our school by having a healthy garden, because most things were just processed.
So has it met your expectations, Malik, in doing this?
Yes. Because I thought it would be really fun because they could learn about gardening. And I thought it would be really healthy because a long time ago we used to have things that were just processed that came from the high school. So I thought if we had a garden, it would be pretty cool and a lot of people would have healthier food.
So did you help in some of the planting and getting it started?
Yes. I mean, yeah, we planted lettuce, cucumbers, potatoes, watermelon, sunflowers, green beans, and tomatoes.
Do you have anything to say, Mom?
We watched, like we said, Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution, and Malik went to Dr. Podaski the beginning of the school year. And then he kind of said, we'll see, and once Prairie Rivers got involved, things just took off. We're, like, really excited and happy. We had lots of fun, right? And it's just been pretty, it's pretty awesome. He's pretty proud of himself.
What is your name?
Sharon Davis.
You're pretty proud of your son with all this.
Oh, absolutely. I cook for Iowa State, and I've been in food service for a long time, and so we kind of were thinking, hey, gardening, I'm not that great on the gardening front, but we have the food pat down, so we kind of thought, you know, what a good thing to do, and the kids could learn at the same time, and I'm pretty proud of him. It's been pretty awesome. So he's really, really proud of himself, excited for the ribbon cutting, and excited for Sawyer.
Is there any foods or vegetables that you've tried from this garden that you've never had before?
I have tried these new radishes. I think they're called watermelon radishes, and they're supposed to be a little spicier, and they're kind of purple inside. Me and my mom really like radishes, but we've never had these kind.
Mm-hmm. And the pink beans, right?
Oh,
they were talking about pink beans and ground cherries, and that was a new thing for me.
It's like a cherry
tomato. Looks like a berry.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And it has crumbly stuff inside. It comes out of the ground instead of making a plant and then doing it.
So it grows in the ground like a root vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys going to make a winter garden this year here?
I think so. I think they're going to have things that grow in the winter, and then they're going to change off, because this farmer's market is going to help us with next year's seeds and plants.
So the money that you raise will help continue this project?
Yeah.
This is Cynthia McClure, and I'm with Ashley Imes here at Sawyer School, and I understand that you were instrumental in helping this happen.
Yes.
Just tell us the story about it.
Me and Malik were in the same third grade class, and one day we were looking at the big space, and we thought we should put a garden there to make it more decorative.
So did you have an idea of what kind of garden you wanted?
Yeah, a vegetable garden like it is right now. And we went to some meetings, like PTO meetings. We talked about the garden, and they went around the school asking for votes, and almost everybody wanted a garden.
So your school had to vote on getting this garden.
Mm-hmm.
So has this met all your expectations?
Yes. Yeah, I'm very proud about this garden because a lot of people in the school really wanted to be involved, and yeah, I don't think it could have done any better.
Yes, it was great. She came home with the idea. She met with Dr. Podaski, and he called to ask if Ashley and Malik could go meet with the principal at Kate Mitchell, because they had done a garden. And he was great with follow-up and making sure that he got to help the kids to learn the process and decide if that was something that Sawyer could do. And then they kind of took it from there and met with some other organizations and the
AmeriCorps.
Yeah, the AmeriCorps that had helped with the Kate Mitchell garden. And then it just kind of, it really blossomed from there. And so it's been a fun project for us this summer to show family and friends, and something that Sawyer, I think, can be very proud of.
Excellent to see.
Did you help plant some of them?
Yeah.
So which plants did you help plant?
Mostly all of them.
So the sunflowers and mm-hmm. tomatoes
yep.
and pumpkin and watermelon?
Corn and green beans. And
yes.
Yeah. So it's actually a substantial garden.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to be a future gardener?
Yes.
And their garden has produced wonderful things. They've got great pumpkins for sale and gourds, and they've got sweet potatoes and peppers and tomatoes.
I harvested a couple sunflower seeds myself, and they were very good.
I am talking with Ashley Imes and her parents, and their names are
Kim Imes.
Kim Imes. And
Chris Imes.
Chris Imes. They are very proud parents. Can you guys describe the scene around you at this Harvest Festival?
Yeah, there are a lot of kids running around here. A lot of parents buying other things from the other vendors, and this is just, it's more like a farmer's market than I thought it'd be. I thought it'd be more of a little school farmer's market. This is a full-blown farmer's market with some music. Really proud of Ashley and Malik. Done an excellent job of getting the school involved. And
but we definitely enjoyed coming to the Sawyer Garden and helping and learning the process. So we definitely have learned a lot along the way.
Okay. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you.
One final very special thank you I have is for two Sawyer students. They're both in the fourth grade. Last year, as third grade students, they really lobbied for a garden at Sawyer Elementary School, and they're a big part of the reason that we were able to come in and make this beautiful garden happen. And that is Malik Davis and Ashley Iams. They're right over here. Let's give them a big round of applause. This garden could not have happened without them. And so it is with great pleasure that I ask them to please cut the ribbon that officially opens the garden.
Very nice.
Thank you, everybody, and enjoy the farmers market.
That was KHR reporter Cynthia McClure at Abby Sawyer School, where a garden has been created this year and culminated in a harvest festival and farmers market on the schoolyard. Cynthia spoke with the next generation of food producers, Malik Davis and his mother Sharon Davis, and Ashley Imes and her parents Kim and Chris Imes. Also at Sawyer School, we heard from their teacher, Glenn Sibyl, and Shelley Orngarten from the Story County Volunteer Center that helped create the garden together with Sawyer School and a number of other organizations. This is KHOI's Local Talk. KHOI reporter Ben Beloit interviewed Jerry Lynn, who is a grain farmer near Nevada, Lana Nachtigall at Onion Creek Farm, and information about that farm can be found at onioncreekfarm.com. That's onioncreekfarm.com. Ben also interviewed Sally Graham of the Tabletop Farm, and their website is tabletopfarm.com. That's tabletopfarm.com. KHOI reporter Linda Manette interviewed Dick DeMoss from the Pumpkin Farm, which is north of Ames. For information about the Pumpkin Farm, call 832-7930. 832-7930. Music you've been listening to has been Harvest Moon by Neil Young from his CD Harvest Moon, Farmer Song by Joe Hanek from his CD and musical Farmer Song. Joe grew up as a farmer in southern Iowa and went on the air in Murray, Iowa with his own community radio station around the same time KHOI did. KSOI Southern Iowa Community Radio at 91.9 FM. And Homegrown Tomatoes by Guy Clark from his CD Better Days. And our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from the CD Ballad of Kay Chelly. We've dedicated this program on the harvest time to Don Wirth, who has mentored KHOI and mentored this show, Local Talk. It is such an honor and pleasure to bring some of the voices of our community to the air. We thank you for listening and see you again on the radio.